Amen, church. We are saved, and we should all be seeking heaven as that home. So as we sing those songs of praise, when the saved gets to heaven, it will be a glorious day. Good evening, all, and again, I have the opportunity to be before you all as your speaker of the hour. Always seeing and taking this as a privilege and a great opportunity for myself to operate and to be used in this manner with my brothers and sisters and in the Lord's work and service. This is the Father's Day. Brother Gay has did an excellent job of bringing us into remembrance of what fathers should be and how that is an office that is of great honor, for God is the ultimate father, and there would be no such thing as a father if it was not for God the Father, who he made fathers. I mean, literally, he made fathers. He could have put the order into anything that he wanted to, but he gave man we know, and I think you mentioned it this morning, man made in the image of God. That's another part that we need to consider as men, to even be, have a role as a father. That's godly. God is the one who put the order there. He was the one that said, therefore man shall leave mother and father, and how the progress of those things supposed to go, cleave to his wife to become one, and it continues on with the father and the mother perspective there. So this evening, and I pray and hope we all have had a wonderful Father's Day, fathers among us. Fathers, that mean fathers, grandfathers, granduncles, uncles, all of us who are men and the capacity of families, we are fathering. We're in that role of being fathers. And this evening, my message to us and for us, fathers, is being present for the family. Being present for the family. Okay. We live in a time and age where many of us, we look at, and God's word said that the father should be in the family. The father is still the head of that family. That is the structure that God put in there. But Brother Gay, I've come to understand, and as we move through with this, it's not just the aspect of absent fathers in the families. There still is that perspective of those in the family, but not for the family. Thus, being present for the family. Too much we see today is where there is, the unit is there. Father is there in the family, but not for the family. It's a great difference from being present in the family and being present for the family. Father, and we always look at that perspective, and I often find myself pressed in. When you're taking that perspective of father, I always have to go back to Abraham. It just seems to just take me right there in that perspective of Abraham. We could say Abraham was a good father. Okay. But from whose perspective? You guys realize that Abraham had the same problems and challenges that you'll find in most families and from that position that he held in the family. And I hope this is Father's Day. So my sister, y'all going to give me a little leeway, right? Oh, my dear wife, and she's over there. Y'all going to give me a little leeway. Y'all ain't going to beat me up too bad at the back door. When I, no, not too bad. You ain't said nothing yet, Brother Scott. What you going to say, Sister Rise? What you? I ain't going to say nothing wrong, but I'm going to put it from this perspective here. Abraham had a problem with listening to his wife. Well, thank you. I'm going. Yes. It was Sarah who desired to have a son, was it not? Because she recognized what God had said to Abraham, and she wanted him, she told him, she was the voice behind that perspective of how she would get a son. And we know how the situation in that family perspective turn out. It turned out just like it would today. It turned out bad. This be upon you. You look what you've done. She's despising me because of how they went about bringing this matter into a perspective. But one of the things I wanted to see about things that Abraham went through, he went through it with his family. He was present in the family. We can move on forward with that. Isaac, that was his son. Am I correct? Isaac had problems in the family, right? He did? Did he not? And it seemed to be with the aspect of his wife. That's why I said, y'all ain't going to beat me up too bad. Because it came about that, wasn't it, when it came time with the twin sons and all, that it was his wife who, with the son, made that deceitful presentation to go against what Isaac had said. But Isaac was there for his family. Jacob was there for his family. He ended up with two wives and 12 different kids with four wives, really, if you want to speak. But guess what? Jacob was there, not just in the family, for the family. So you see there is a great difference between being just there in the family and being there for the family. But all that went on, his whole perspective, his greatest concern was his family. Serving God, but also being in the, with all those things that went on in the family. You've never seen Abraham turn on Sarah and say, that's it. That's your business. Like, well, he did tell you she's your servant. You handle it, but I'm out of here. No, he did not. He said, now it came a point when he stopped listening so much to what she said in certain matters, and matters that pertain to being right with God. He moved as God gave him orders to. But guess what? That was also for the family, because do you all realize that Abraham is the father? Y'all sung it in your VBS. Said, Father Abraham has many what? Many sons. And we are some of the sons of Abraham. How? I know this is just worship. Y'all can't talk back to me. He is the father of the faithful. It was through faith in God that God showed that Abraham was faithful to him, and he is the father of the faithful. So this evening, I want us to look at that perspective of being present for the family. And I'm not speaking of things that everything's going to go right. You're going to be the head, and it's going to all line up just the way you want to. Y'all remember those old sitcoms, Father Knows Best, and Donna Reed, and I'm going way back, Brother Gay, they're looking at me like, who, what? Yeah, they had those shows where you had the perfect father, and he could fix anything. It all lined up. Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver, the father in that perspective, even on down to the point where in our modern days, y'all had Dr. Huntsable. He was a perfect father on TV. But, y'all stop, that ain't where I'm going with this. That ain't where I'm going with this. But from the perspective I'm trying to put us in to see, they were human. Bible gives us a beautiful picture of man in his humanity and God in his grace and mercy and wisdom. Those fathers that we want to look at that God gave respect to, they stayed in the presence of the family. They served their family from the perspective of a spiritual perspective. Do you all realize in the patriotic age, fathers carried a role that I don't know, I guess I could dig it out in scripture, but it gives us it clearly. The father was the head of the household, but he was also the priest for that family. He offered the sacrifices and things up for the family. God would speak to the fathers about matters in the patriotic age. And it kind of like just a blended in when he came into the law of Moses. It was still the elders. An elder, when you look at it in the Old Testament, would know It was no way to separate an elder from being a father of that family. He was not only the elder of the family, but those elders were those of those tribes. How were the tribes named? After the who? The fathers. The tribe of Judah goes back. They wear the name of the Judah, who was the father of all those descendants on through. So that father, in the presence of it, makes a great difference. To understand how Abraham was a good father, we have to look at it from the perspective that, first and foremost, he was faithful. He became faithful to God. Being faithful to God made him faithful unto his family. Not that they're always going to agree with you for being faithful to God, but a faithful father to God is able to protect his family. He protected them physically and spiritually. A faithful father to God is able to provide for his family. He provided material goods, but also the spiritual goods for his family. That's another lesson in that, because we see where there was a father who was very concerned about the material goods, but found himself causing great spiritual damage to his father. That was the nephew Lot. Lot saw all the good and what good it could bring. We can't say that Lot was God. God even calls Lot a righteous man. But he had more concern about the material goods that he could bring into his family, and ended up losing his family and everything. You guys realize that when I talk about being present for the family, Abraham's presence for the family, even after Lot had left them, was always still there. Let's go to Scripture. Genesis chapter 18. Abraham was a good father because, yes, he was present. He was protective. He provided, but most of all, he was faithful. And that faithfulness to God showed in how he was faithful towards his family. Here in chapter 18 of Genesis, and I'll be starting at verse 17, it tells us this. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." So the things I said earlier, you have scripture to prove it. All the nations, the blessing that we have in Abraham, God is speaking of, came through a descendant in the flesh of Abraham, who was Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all the nations of the world are blessed through the seed of Abraham, Christ being that seed who has brought that blessing truly unto the world. And this is way back in Genesis. None of this has occurred, but this is how God is viewing Abraham. 19, for I know him. Oh, we just went into the top of the lessons, and part of it was knowing, the challenge to know God. But here God says, I know him. Have you ever given that some thought? God said, I know him. God knows us? Amen. Yes, he does. Matter of fact, he's trying to get us to know us. That's the issue, trying to get us to see ourselves for where we truly need to make and become aware of. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sins are very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. Now we know how that evolved, because as he shared what he was going to do with Abraham, Abraham started to beseech the Lord. It seemed like he was trying to cut deals and make, but what he was doing, and God recognized what he was doing, he was looking out for who? Lot. He was concerned for his family. He was being present for his family. And Lot did not have a clue. Lot was down in Sodom, and Abraham was pleading and petitioning the Lord to spare that city, but he was doing it all because of Lot. I've said many times, you've heard it from sermons, how many prayers have went up for us and continue to go forth for us because there is somebody praying righteous prayers on our behalf. The presence of the Father. He was present in Lot's life long after Lot had even left him. He was present in his family because he always had a concern for what was not just occurring to him, but what was set before him. He never left the family. The presence, being present for the family. And many times that'll put you in a perspective where you may not even be, you may become invisible at times. Fathers, I'm speaking to us. Grandfathers, maybe come to taken for granted or feel that you ain't getting all your, oh, I had a good time so far on this Father's Day. They treated me fine. I've got gifts, got treats, got treated with the things that they know I like. Somebody even said, we're going to give you what we know you like. You should come to know what your father like. Amen. They know what you like. Well, Abraham, God said, I know him. And Abraham was one who God called to be a friend. So when we read this story about how Abraham was present for his family, we know that God was about to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he comes to Abraham to tell him about this. He does so. Bible tells us because he had great respect for Abraham, he said that I won't hide this thing for him. When a man ways pleases the Lord, it not only makes his enemies at peace with him, but also if your ways please the Lord, he's at peace with you. Because when I'm not at peace with the Lord, you know I'm an enemy of the Lord. So you're at peace with him. He does things to protect us in ways that we don't even realize. Being present for the family. Fathers. God says he knew Abraham. Bible tells that Abraham was called the friend of God. That's over in the New Testament, I do believe, in James 2:23. God commended Abraham for his faithfulness to his family. That's what he was doing when he spared Sodom and Gomorrah. He did it all because of Abraham. Lot had went off into that area there and did not know the dread and the danger that was coming upon him. And when he tried to go to his family, we've been down this road before, they thought he was somebody causing, making jokes. Did not heed to him to the point that he went in with a family. We don't know how much goods he had. He says he was quite wealthy when they parted. That's why they parted. But when he came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he came out with just the clothes on his back and running for his life. And the only reason he had that was because of who? The angel, but because of truly Abraham, who was still in the presence for his family before God. So it's an important thing for us as fathers to keep ourselves present in the family, for the family. Not just being there, but keeping our perspective with God. Abraham is a good example that we should always look at as fathers of towards God. Abraham was present for the family. He was a good father because he did not pursue worldly things. He didn't put those things before him. When we go through those lessons, we look at how Abraham, God said he was going to make him wealthy. Abraham had opportunities when he saved Lot and all those kings that was down there, do you know that all those goods that he had secured, that belonged to Abraham? The king of Sodom tried to cut a deal with him, remember? He said, you keep all the stuff and give me the people. Remember, there had been at least five kings overtaken down there, and Lot had come and secured all of those things and stuff. And Abraham responds to giving recognition from a king, and even with his authority behind it, now you take all the stuff, which Abraham had already. He said he don't want it to be said that you made Abraham rich. How many of us would go into a deal that may not bring a good light upon your family because somebody who has a whole lot of stuff makes you offer a deal you can't refuse? But he recognized that this was something that he wanted no part. He says, pay the men who help me, give them what they need. He was looking out for their needs. Again, how he was always present for the family, but he wanted no parts of it. Pursuing worldly desires. Now we know that Abraham and many of these others that we look at ended up in extramarital affairs. Bible doesn't paint, don't sugarcoat any of those things. It shows them just in his human frailties there. And I often wonder, well, man after God's own heart, spoken of about David with all the things that he did wrong. Abraham and how he let himself get put into this, but God said he's still a friend. God recognized when we do things and then we stay humble, stay in place, and seek to be right with God. See, there are things that we do in our life that can cause us many trials, many challenges, and many struggles. But when we stay put, when we stay in the presence of the family and with God, these things God doesn't hold against you. Man may never let you forget it. Family may never let you forget it. But God looks at it from a whole different perspective. He did not abandon his family. Abraham did not. He was present for his family. Wherever he went, he also took his family. His presence for his family, we've seen that with Noah. Noah did matters, and he had some shortcomings in his life. We know Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Zacharias, and many others. While they had their faults, as we all do, they were present for their families. And that's our call for us as brothers today. Stay present for your family. And I made it clear that we're not talking about just being present in the family. Y'all see, there's a great difference from being just present in the family. There are many who stay in the family and do things from a different perspective, but they're never there for the family. The father is a presence for the family that can stand. We still have a position with God that can't be circumvented or passed off to anyone else. It is the men and the fathers who must be still held accountable for worshiping, carrying out the worship for God. We did that little, we played devil's advocate, I think, in one of our classes earlier this morning and in the past week also. We did a scenario, say, well, what else? We have that Sunday, Brother Gay, where the attendance of the brothers have gotten so weak and so bad that only a very few brothers show up, but none of the working brothers, working men, working fathers, I'm speaking from the Lord's perspective. And it comes worship time, and we have our sisters here. What should and what would they do? I asked them, no, Gail, you weren't in here. I asked them, well, would it be all right then for them to start assembling themselves? Somebody's going to preach, and somebody's going to do the Lord's table. And they gave me the right look. That's why Gail was not in the assembly with us, y'all. They gave us the right look as if that did not make any sense, because they realize, and we should realize as fathers, those are obligations and things that we stand, that's the obligations of the fathers, of the men. And it had always been. In Abraham's day, it was Abraham who was told to go build an altar and offer his son up to the Lord. He knew how to build the altar. He knew how to offer to the Lord. Men should always know how to serve their God. And we do ourselves a disservice in our family injustice when we don't learn to be the type of men who can be present for the family in the spiritual perspective that God has placed us in. As I continue, being present for the family, we know that in Ephesians 4, 6 and 4, it says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, to do that, that means we must have a presence for the family. Just being in the family and being there, unless I am nurturing them in the ways of the Lord, to me, that verse, for fathers to nurture their sons and children in the way of the Lord, that means I got to be in the way of the Lord. That means I have to be serving the Lord. But do you realize that one of the biggest things that we put upon our family is a father that has no regard for the things of the Lord? Daddy don't go to church. Mama goes to church. There's a good chance that his effect of not being so serious about the church will affect his family, his children, and especially his sons. Fathers must be present in order to carry even out that commandment in Ephesians 6 and 4. Protection. Did Abraham protect his family? Yes, he did. Again, that episode that he was beseeching God for about Lot was the second time he had went all out to protect him. And well, actually, you can even say it was the third time, because even when he saw that there was strife rising between the two families, it was Abraham who said, we be brethren. There shouldn't be strife between us. And by him even being the older and the more, actually the head of the whole thing, because he took Lot with him as a son, he gave way to him. Oh, I'm the head of the house. I don't give way to nobody. No, no. Many times it's that head that sees for peace's sake there's some things that need to be done, and you set that standard on how to do things. Being present for the family. It was Abraham who said, we be brother. You, whatever way you want, whatever you want, I'll take the other. And it was only after he had operated that way with Lot that God showed him then the rest of the promise, what all he was going to do for him. When we make ourselves present for the family, we please God. Fathers are to nurture. Fathers are to protect. Fathers are to provide. We live in a day and age where there are many fathers who feel the need to do and do claim that they are providing. And they'll look at it from the perspective of, I work two jobs to see that my family is well fed and stay in a condition that's much better than what I ever had, to dress and wear things like I never had to wear or didn't get a chance to wear before. Brother Gabe, that you talking this morning about those sneakers, and you couldn't get them, but when you got a chance to get them, you wouldn't wear them because when you couldn't have them, you... I like that. Yeah. 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 I like that, but that's all right, because I remember making a statement to one of my grandsons. He wanted me to buy some shoes But again, it was those canvas all-stars. A nice shoe. That was sought after in my day. We wanted them. But I know the values, and I refuse to pay the money that they charge now for canvas tennis shoes. Over $100 for those shoes? No, that sounds like, Brother Scott, you kind of tight. Stingy. Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't think I am, Brother Gay. But a 13-year-old boy who next week foot going to be. No. But you know, he didn't sit well with him. He didn't want none of the shoes other than I got. He couldn't have that. He didn't want that. I understand. But that was just those some things that we just principles with us. So many times that's that father and making those stands on those certain principles. You're not going to be able to just please family all the time, but you have a perspective of providing. So not just giving material things, but even with material things, having and showing the value about matters. We learn our values also. We learn our values. And some of us have grown up and learned some great values about stuff. Know how to be a little bit without and not always had a whole lot. And so it works with us. That is one of the great calls for a family. But the biggest part of providing as a father for the family is the spiritual provisions that we should make. There is something about fathers given. When fathers have a relationship with God, it brings strength and security to the family like no other way can. Some work, use their money to throw at the family as a substitute for what they are not really giving and providing for the family. Then we got some who fail to work, provide anything at all for the family. They'll be on the family and be just there taking everything that does come for the family. I can remember, y'all, on jobs where you would have, and this is Brother Scott, this person, and it used to puzzle me, how could a person get away with working a job the way they do? Never come on time, always not completing their job task, and seem to just, and you almost, well, they must be afraid of them. But I come to realize that many times it ain't because of that individual, but God is using that individual to provide for that family, and they may think that they are getting away with things, but God will allow that person to stay and seem like things would not come to a bad conclusion, but it's not for their sake, it be for the family's sake. It took me some time to come to understand. That's why you shouldn't look at how what other folks are doing and what they get away with. You don't know what's attached to that. Many times it's God's mercy and grace, not on that individual, but for that family that is attached to that. So it's so many things we start to see when we start looking at things from God's perspective. But a father should always have that mindset. Providing is not just throwing goods or material at or seeking out the material. Say, I got to do this for my family. We must be there to nurture, and that nurturing is showing them how a man reverence and fears God. I made a statement some time back, and I know my time is probably running. I know y'all have had a long week. I'm going to bring it to its close. I think y'all have my point where I'm trying to get to, how that it wasn't until I came into the Lord's church that I actually was able to see God fearing men, fathers of the church. And my conclusion as I bring this into a perspective, and we're not looking at just as men of the church, godly men. We are fathers in our prospective families, but we are also fathers in spiritual family too. We still carry that same authority and responsibility before God. We must and should honor it as Abraham did. So that providing and that protection and the things that we are called to do, being present for the family. Abraham was a good provider. Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold, but we also know that he had a relationship with God. So a good father, or that father that's present for the family. He not only provides, he also protects with that relationship that we have with God, always seeking and praying and looking for the spiritual welfare of our spiritual family and our physical family. But that presence, being present for the family, is how all those things are accomplished. A good father is faithful to the Lord. A spiritual father is one that is present for his family with the Lord, not just in material things, but from the spiritual perspective. We can use Abraham as that faithful father to God, even to the point of his willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac. More than anything, children need to see an example of faithfulness in the fathers. That's one of the problems that we have in our church today. There is not enough faithful men. So I encourage us as fathers, let's continue to be faithful. We may get those accolades one day out of the week and then become invisible, but God sees us and God knows us. And the family knows us, because when you got, and that's that's a bad thing, but it's a good thing. When your family becomes so comfortable with you that they know you there, they know where you are, they don't even have to consider, well, where is Brother Gay? Where is Brother Coleman? Where is Brother? It probably died at the church. Was something at the church? If they know where we are. God knows where we are in our hearts too. When we set the proper example of faithfulness for our children, God is glorified. God is glorified when we show that we love him. When fathers set the proper example of faithfulness for their children, that's what God is pleased with. So as I bring it to a close, he knows the mistakes we make, and he also knows if there is, even this evening, if there's a need to make changes in our lives as fathers, as parents, or whatever role we're in, because in this day and age, and as it has really always been, there are many fathers, but that doesn't always have to be in that relationship of being husband and wife. When a man takes on the role of being a guide and a nurturer and a protector for the young, that is the role of father. And we need to see that in the church, in our physical families, in our communities. Let's be fathers that are present for the family. That's my message for this evening. I didn't take too long, did I? Well, I said, nope. Oh, thank you, sis. But he still preached over an hour. But is there any here this evening that has not become part of the family of God? You can do that. You hear God's word, believe that he is and does reward those who faithfully and diligently seek him. You hear the word of God. You believe it. You repent, changing your ways, not from the good things you do or consider the bad thing, but change your ways to be obedient to God. You hear his word. You repent. You make the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You act upon that in belief by coming forward and being baptized. Baptism puts you into the body of Christ. And now that enters you into the family, and we learn to be obedient, faithful servants as fathers, as children, as those who are part of the family of God. If that's your desire this evening, that can be done. That's the invitation song is sung. Or if any of us that's already in the family need confession made or acts of repentance to solicit the prayers, we can do all these matters as we together stand as the song is sung.
Would you be free from